Welcome to the World War One at Home podcast with me, Helen Mark. For terms and conditions, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts. Locally raised battalions, popularly known as PALS battalions, were formed in towns and cities across Britain so that men with shared backgrounds and experiences could enlist together, stay together, and ultimately fight together. Although a number of these battalions were set up across Britain, only one was formed in Ireland, and that was by the Irish Rugby Football Union in Dublin.
12 green!
Declan O'Brien is my name. I'm the operations manager of the Irish Rugby Football Union. We're currently pitchside at the Aviva Stadium. It stands on the site of the old Lansdowne Road, which would have been here since the property was purchased by Henry Dunlop back in the 1870s. Well, rugby, I suppose, wouldn't have been a widespread sport other than mainly through garrison towns. But there would have been four provincial teams at the outbreak of the war, and there would have been an interprovincial championship. And when Lord Kitchener looked for a unit to be set up, the president of the IRFU at the time, Mr. Browning, sent out a message to all clubs asking them to send people from the rugby community to join the forces.
I'm Dr. Timothy Bowman, senior lecturer in modern British military history at the University of Kent in Canterbury. At the outbreak of war, Francis Browning, the president of the Irish Rugby Football Union, had written to a number of the rugby clubs in the Dublin area and had basically said that they should do something for the war effort. And his idea was that they would form a volunteer corps for home defence. So that's being put together from early August. And then on the 10th of September, Lieutenant Colonel Geoffrey Downing, who's the commanding officer of the 7th Royal Dublin Fusiliers, came along and addressed the men of the Irish Rugby Football Union volunteer corps and basically gets recruits from there, which formed the basis of the D Company of the 7th Royal Dublin Fusiliers.
The PALS battalion came to be because Lord Kitchener at the time sent out a request for everybody to join up and do their duty for the state, for the small states of Belgium after being invaded by the Germans in the First World War. And he requested that people actually join units or set up units known as PAL units so that they could fight alongside their friends. And a lot of PALS units were set up in England, but there was only one set up in Ireland, and that was the IRFU PALS, and that was D Company of the 7th Battalion.
The idea of the PALS might seem a rather strange one to us now. It was an idea that had come together in England by Lord Derby in Liverpool. There are some very posh ones that are formed in England. There are sportsmen's battalions formed in the Royal Fusiliers, and also, somewhat incredibly, the University and Public Schools Brigade is formed in the Royal Fusiliers. And like the PALS that are formed here in Dublin, the issue with all these units is that they really bring men in the ranks who it was proved to be very soon were needed as the officers for the new army. So in some ways there's a great waste of manpower.
Rugby players at the time were mainly made up of middle class and upper class people. A lot of the people who would have played rugby would have had association with Trinity College. Rugby came through Trinity College, and from Trinity College moved on to clubs like Wanderers, Lansdowne and Clontarf. And they were the main clubs that were really participating in the PALS battalion, as it was known.
D Company, as it comes together, is probably understood as much as a class corps as a sports corps. What's interesting is when they arrive in the Curra camp, they're allowed by Downing to elect two of their number as officers. One of those is Ernest Julian, the Reid Professor of Law at Trinity College Dublin. There weren't too many professors enlisting in the ranks of the British Army, even in 1914, so that gives us some idea about the social cachet. The PALs then, as D Company, Seventh Royal London Fusiliers, go to Gallipoli with the rest of the 10th Irish Division and are in action in Suvla Bay in August and September 1915. By the end of that Suvla Bay operation in September, when they're withdrawn, there's only 79 members of the PALs, originally 300 strong, that are still serving with D Company. A number had been killed, like Ernest Julian, a number had been wounded. A lot had gone down with illness in Gallipoli. There were real problems with water supply and with dysentery, but a lot had also, by that stage, they were being selected for commissions, and it was thought that they would play their part more usefully commanding new army units rather than simply serving in the ranks.
These people were just ordinary people, and they were doing what they thought was the right thing for the time in question. And I suppose when they arrived in the battlefield, they were shocked into the reality of what is war. They would never believe that people could go to the level of depravity that they actually ultimately had to experience in order to survive.
The Aviva Stadium in Dublin. To hear more stories and find out more details about the war, go to bbc.co.uk/World War I.